Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Marsha Birkbigler, the chair of the Washoe County Commission, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Trey Abney and Mary Lau. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Marsha Birkbigler. She's the chair of the Washoe County Commission. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You've got some issues with what's going on in Incline Village regarding land sales. Let us know what the issue is.
Well, I'm concerned about the fact that the legislature seems to have created this special business government, this special government, let's say, that can do whatever it wants to do, regardless of whether it's written in the statutes. As you know, in a Dillon's Law state like Nevada is, if you're a municipal government and it's not written in your statutes that you can do something, then you can't do it. And although there was a piece of legislation passed that flexed that a little bit, it didn't flex it enough to allow a local government to sell public assets, regardless of what those assets are, without the approval of the elected body. And we have a situation where some land, parcels of land in Incline Village were sold, and they were sold by an employee and notarized the sale and the deed.
A county employee.
An IVGET employee.
Okay.
And notarized and sold and everything by that without ever going to the board, without being put out for public bids. So the requirement for a county or a city, if you want to sell land, is that, or you want to sell any asset that belongs to the government, because the land belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to the people. So you're selling people's assets, taxpayers' assets. And so the requirement, there are three requirements. One, you can sell to another government. So you can do a government-to-government transfer. It doesn't have to go out to bid. And generally speaking, there's no taxes paid on that. It's just a transfer. That's how IVGET ended up with this land, because it was on the tax rolls for the county and the taxes hadn't been paid. So the county transferred it to IVGET for open space. That's the requirement. If you do a government-to-government transfer, the land must remain in the hands of the government and open space until such time as they decide to sell it, and then they have to pay the taxes. They didn't do that. So the second thing is, the second way you sell land is you can do a government-to-education transfer. Again, no taxes need to be paid. You don't have to put it out for bid. It's all just done. You know, generally, your elected board, though, has to approve all of these things. The third way, and the only other way that a municipal government can sell, that would be a county or a city municipal government can sell land, is you must, if you want to sell it to the private sector, you're required to put it out to bid. All this is written in the statutes. That apparently doesn't apply to GIDs. And so what happened in Incline Village, for right or for wrong, they had these public land parcels that are unbuildable for the most part. There are 86 of them, and I think most of them are unbuildable in Incline Village, and they, without taking it to the board, without putting it out to bid, they simply sold three of those parcels to private citizens.
For what purpose?
Because the private citizens wanted beach access, I guess. And because,
which is pretty valuable property up in Incline
Village. Which is very valuable property, because there's three private beaches in Incline Village, and you only can use those private beaches if you own land in Incline Village, not in Crystal Bay, just in Incline Village. And you also get very highly discounted golf access and ski access and shooting in the wetlands area and access to the parks that are all controlled by IVGID, which is paid for by the taxpayers who live in Incline Village and Crystal Bay. So they sold three parcels. Not the IVGID board, but an employee of IVGID simply sold three parcels to three people who no one knows who they are. And then when a citizen from Crystal Bay called and said, gee, you know, I'd really like to buy one of those parcels so I can have beach access, they were told, well, fine, we'll put you on the list. So that person went around telling everybody that they'd put them on the list. So someone else called and said, well, gee, I'd like to be on the list and I'd like to see where I'm at on the list. They refused to release the list. So the list is private. And the argument is, by their attorney, is that there's nothing in the statutes that says they can't do that. And I said to my district attorney, well, if they can sell these parcels, these little unbuildable parcels, what's keeping them from selling one of those golf courses to a billionaire who can then have his own Trump course, if you will, in Incline Village and bring in whatever he wants with the argument that it puts assets back, money back into the coffers of Incline Village. And there is nothing, by the way. If they could sell a small parcel of land, they can literally sell anything without taking it before their board.
Okay, so this is actually legal?
Not as anybody would like to think, but it's not. It apparently isn't illegal. It would be illegal if the county did it. It would be illegal if a city did it. But it's not illegal if a GID does it. And that is illogical. That says that the Nevada State Legislature has, in fact, set up a form of government that has no oversight over what it does with its publicly owned assets. And that's wrong.
All right. So what is the remedy here? First of all, can you go back and reverse any of the actions taken so far?
Well, our district attorney met with them and did require them to pay the taxes on it because they sold it and then put the money that they sold it for, which was nothing, by the way. Two parcels were sold for $14,000-something, and one was sold for $19,000. Those parcels, just to get beach access and get the other things, are probably worth easily $100,000. I said, put one up for me. If that's the way you're going to do it, man, I'll give you $50,000 for it. I've got an extra $50,000 sitting around. I'd love to have beach access and golf course access. I'd be up there all the time playing on those courses. And, of course, the county, what the county district attorney did was write them a letter and say, you can't sell the land without paying the taxes, so you got to pay the taxes back. So they're in the process of working that out right now. Unfortunately, trying to unwind this has become something of a problem because one of those parcels of land has been sold to someone else. And so, which, of course, could happen. And so now the other thing that IVGID allows is they allow you to buy beach access cards, punch cards they call them. So you can go in and you can buy for, I don't know how much it is, $26 a card or something like that. But let's assume for a minute that you own a resort over on the California side and you want all of your residents to have free access to the beaches in Incline Village. You just go over, buy those cards, punch cards, and you give them to all your residents in your condo project or whatever. And so now you're increasing the number of people who are on the beach, and yet the money is not coming back to the citizens. And that land is owned by the citizens. And if your argument is you have a fiduciary responsibility to put the land, to sell the land so that you can put the money back into the assets, then you should be putting it up for bid to sell it for the largest amount you can sell it for.
All right. So in your opinion, what is the remedy?
The remedy is to go to the legislature and fix it by saying that GIDs cannot put it in the GID law. They can't do this. Fix it so that GIDs are like every other form of government. They must follow the rules. They must have complete transparency with liquidation of any of their assets and anything else that they do. And, you know, that's been a problem with GIDs around the state, which is why we had GID legislation last time, and there's been GID problems in the past. But the legislature needs to be responsible for fixing a problem where, frankly, the assets of private citizens, private taxpayers, are being stolen.
Is there somebody that you're looking to spearhead this at the legislature?
We are in the process of meeting with several legislators. I won't mention any of their names because I don't want to put them on the hot seat. But we are in the process of meeting with several legislators to say, in this next session, you've got to fix. This is a clear and glaring problem that you need to fix, because the citizens in Incline Village and IVGID or any other GID that are doing this have a right to know where their assets are going.
All right, let's take a break. More with Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler when we come back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler. She's the chairman of the board. I wanted to talk to you about blockchains. For a lot of us, we've never heard the term blockchain or didn't know what it was. In some cases, still don't know what it is, but we're learning. But they bought an incredible amount of land at the Tahoerino Industrial Center, basically selling that out. The growth is here. It's not coming. It's here. You know, I was talking to Lance Gilman about I-80, which is turning into a parking lot when you get to the rush hours now. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about the potential expansion of I-80 and is there room to do it? He said, yes, you can go into the mountainside and chip away. You could do a double decker. You could do all kinds of things. But the reality is that we would need federal funds, would we not, to be able to do something like that? And are there even discussions at this point with the county, RTC, Washoe and Story?
There are discussions with NDOT. And I think probably not so much as the county, but at RTC, at that level of RTC, which is, of course, a county partner. But RTC and NDOT, I think, are probably discussing this at length. You know, there's a lot of – there's several other things that are going on. For example, the lands bill. So we're looking at – there's a couple of lands bills out there for a lot of the northern counties. But Washoe County has been working on a lands bill trying to get – something similar to the lands bill in Las Vegas, where we can... the Southern Nevada, Simplema, or whatever the heck it's called. So we can do that same type of thing up here, not wanting to sell land that would be of value from an environmental protection purposes, but to allow for further growth. And so that's in the process. I think the master plan for the greater footprint of the Reno-Sparks, Washoe County area is in the works this year. So I think all of those factors are being tied together. And, of course, we're working with the feds on a number of those. So,
well, let me ask you this. You know, for a while now, the maps of the Tahoerino Industrial Center have shown them as the center of the region. And everything else is being, you know, surrounding communities. Mm-hmm. And Lance was talking about he and Roger Norman are looking at partnerships to develop in Fernley, Fallon, Yerington, Silver Springs, all along that U.S. 50 corridor. And he was also talking about the problems with permitting and the length of time it takes to permit, especially things like housing, that potentially Washoe County, Reno Sparks, we're going to lose out because of the delays in getting approvals for things.
Well, I don't think there's so much of a delay, certainly not at the county level. I've got developers who come to me all the time saying thank you for the county so easy to work with and we can get things done very quickly. And so I don't think it's the same as it was when Story County first, you know, did the Tri-Center. But but there's no question that we do have some standard requirements that we want it to look something better than just a chain link fence, if you will. And also it's true, and Lance has made no bones about the fact that he would like Reno Sparks to be their bedroom community. And of course, now that I think USA Parkway is through to the south, he'd like to see that as part of the bedroom community. There's no question that growth goes where land's available, and land's available out there, but it also goes where water's available. And so that's northern Washoe County. We have water available in northern Washoe County, and that's one of the things that we're working on with the plan redo of the master plan, which is due in 2018. And so we're looking at, you know, areas like that also.
Okay. Can you be specific in terms of are you looking at Winnemucca Lake? Are you looking further north than that? Not that far north.
Now, the city of Reno is looking at moving Winnemucca Ranch back, de-annexing it, moving it back to the county. So, you know, that far north, but I think we're looking at just kind of the broad section of those things past Spanish Springs and Wingfield Springs out in that area. I know there's some talk about extending USA Parkway across to the north and bringing it in to touch Pyramid Highway and then maybe even bring it in to touch 395. Again, tax dollars. Federal tax dollars.
And I was going to say, yeah, I mean, you know, do you have a timeline on that?
We need the housing growth sooner rather than later. We are now down to low unemployment, very low unemployment, below 4% in Washoe County.
Which is zero unemployment,
in Washoe County. And we're now down to the point where housing is at such a premium that apartment rates are going up. So we really need to grow that quickly. So sooner rather than later, we can't sit and wait for money to come in from the feds to do housing.
Yes or no, do you miss Harry Reid? And that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mary Lau is here, the president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada. And Trey Abney is the managing partner of the Abney Talking Group. Pleasure to have you both on the program. So, Mary, the big news, retail is not dead. The nemesis Amazon opens retail store.
Exactly. Retail is changing. It's changing dramatically, but there's no way it's going to die because people need goods and services and stuff. But it's interesting watching Amazon, but they're also doing the click where you can order from at your TV and you click and everything else and then go show up. But a lot of the grocery stores are, you know, Kroger, who owns Smith's, so they're going in the same direction and stuff. And it's fascinating. Or you walk into their store, grab a thing that looks like a remote control or even use your iPhone, scan everything you put in your cart, come through, download it, and you're checked out. So it's going to be fun.
I was disappointed, not that Apple bought a huge amount of land and is developing their server farms in Washoe County and Story County, but that in downtown Reno, it's just a place to move equipment to get the tax benefit. They're not going to open an Apple store because I thought that would be the perfect location. You know, in the past, we've seen hotel casinos like the Papamill say to the movie theater complex that used to be next door to them, hey, where do you want to go? Because we need your land for a parking lot. And you just tell us where you want us to build. And they moved the movie theaters to Park Lane Mall. They also moved a car dealership in the same way. And it would have, I think, been incredible if the Tri-Properties downtown had said, hey, Apple, don't just build a warehouse, you know, build something here. Do you think that would have been a big draw?
Well, I don't think we're ready for that in Northern Nevada yet. We will be now with the purchase out at TRA and stuff like that. I mean, we've got a 20, 25-year, 30-year growth pattern now, but we can't get a Nordstrom's. So you're not going to get a high, you know, I'm not insulting the one out at Summit Mall, but you're not going to get the high-end, fun Apple store yet because there's not enough population of people coming in to drop by and say hi.
Isn't it something like a 2 million person threshold for Nordstrom?
Yeah, something like that. You know, I don't know. I do everything online.
Oh, great. President and CEO of the retailer. No. But, you know.
Hey, our retailers are click and mortar and dot and
well,
com and
the
everything.
In the latest issue of your magazine. That you send out to all your members, and you're kind enough to include me on that, you're talking about how the retailers have to be both now. They can't just be a bricks-and-mortar store or just be online, but it's showing that the future now is to be both.
Well, we've actually done that for years, and Trey even helped testify, you know, with his client with the chamber when he was at the chamber, helping to talk about brick-and-mortar, click-and-mortar, and click online only. So it's been there for a long time. What have you been doing that, like 10 years or more talking about?
Yeah, well, and I think there will always be a human need to want to kind of touch and feel and look at what you're actually buying, right? So the stores won't go away. You know, Sam, on the Apple thing, I actually went to that, the Hoopla, right? And of course, Apple CEO Tim Cook was here. And it was so fascinating to me because you mentioned you got state-of-the-art server farms going out. They just expanded their Apple store in South Reno. They're going to start teaching coding classes and coding classes to young girls out there. And yet he comes to the opening of a warehouse. It is going to be four concrete walls, and it's a warehouse in downtown Reno. Very fascinating that is what he would show up to for that opening, which showed the, I think that Apple is buoyant and is excited about what's going on in Northern Nevada.
Well, but they also picked up the rest of the 1,700 acres at the technology park.
That's right, and they're going to fill it with a server farm. Well, what's interesting, and it's great, it's a great story, and it's obviously great technology in the future, but it is not a lot of employees at those type of places, right? Server farms don't require a lot of day-to-day people being on site, you know, and so that's it. Takes up a lot of land, but not a lot of people.
But you know what's interesting, like with the Switch, for example, they'll have a company come in, and that company will bring in 500 employees to work there at Switch. They're not Switch employees, but they're the other company's employees, and in this case, this would be like eBay.
Right, but they have some employees, but again, it's mostly server. You know, it's not people upkeeping those servers and maybe some security, but not they're not producing servers out there. They're not manufacturing them, right? They're just making sure they stay plugged in and secure, et cetera.
Well, look at Bentonville, you know, Arkansas. You know, they built Walmart built their corporate headquarters there, which was nothing, and now the entire city has been built by Walmart. You know, and people that service Walmart and the alliances and stuff, and now their big warehouse and the mothership is huge.
Well, and that's a great point because you have like international fashion companies and fashion firms actually locate and put branch offices in Bentonville, Arkansas,
yeah.
Just so they can get their products in the largest retailer in the world. It's a fascinating Bentonville, Arkansas. Yeah.
And let's leave it there. Will you come on the next show and continue this conversation?
I guess.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, sure. The door is locked. We'll be right back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, economist Professor Tom Cargill will see you then.